Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Yes, and we are live, and we're going to jump in a little bit early here and go live to Dove Valley. Here's the Broncos head coach, Vic Fangio.
You know, these guys are really good. You know, they do a lot of things, and it's a challenge. Enjoy it? I don't know about that, but it's a challenge for sure. And, yeah, they do the RPOs. They do it a good bit. They throw it deep a lot. You know, they got a lot of speed. There's a lot to stop there.
Quinn Meinerz played the second half against Dallas and started the two games since. What has just been kind of your impression of how he's progressed in that time?
Yeah, he's played good and he's getting better daily. Powerful guy. You know, when he sees something new as a rookie, sometimes you're not sure how he'll react to it. That's just part of the deal. But overall, he's played good. He's got a great attitude. I don't think the game's too big for him. He loves playing. The guys like having him out there. Yeah, he's getting better and better, getting more comfortable in the way we like to do things, his assignments, the way the techniques we use. He's really dove into it. You know, he really wants to play, really wants to do good. I think he likes it here a lot. The guys enjoy him. He's been a good teammate. He's enthusiastic. Been thrilled to have him.
Vic, you mentioned yesterday that you know, it used to be Monday night was the marquee game. Everybody looked forward to the players and everybody. And that's changed to Sunday. What do you think are the factors that went into that switch? Why did that change?
I don't know. It didn't happen immediately. But for some reason, the Sunday night just became a little bit more of the game that, you know, if given a choice, people would rather play in, partly because it doesn't upset your schedule as much. And I think that's really the only reason. It seems like they get the better games. They get flexed when they need to at a certain point in the season. I don't have the true answer for that, but it has happened.
How's Michael Ojeda coming along?
Good. He's getting healthier by the day and practicing good.
You think he'll be available at some point in the next few weeks? Or?
Yeah, he could be. Could be.
Besides mobility, Mahomes is one of those guys that throws off different angles and kind of different footwork than most quarterbacks. Has that affected you as a defensive coordinator as far as trying to stop them at all when they can do more of that?
Well, it's just he's more capable of doing a lot of things that most aren't, which is why he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And players have to know, you know, he's got the no-look passes. He's got the different arm angles. His feet doesn't have to be set all the time to make good throws. It's just unique to him, and that's why he's so good.
No, Massu's. Cortland has seven catches in the last four games. He's drawn a couple key penalties. But are defenses paying more attention to him, or do you need to get him more involved?
I think it's both, you know. Yeah, and the pass interference penalties are big. They're just as good as a completion. But would like to see him get involved some more. But, you know, he's playing good still. Good. I think he's playing his best ball. Thought he played his best game the other day. And expect him to continue to improve.
Mike Boone hasn't played much offensively. If Melvin can't go, would Mike be ready kind of for that secondary role?
Yeah.
No, Massey was limited yesterday. Are you hopeful he'll play?
Yeah, I am.
Is Darby back today that he had an illness?
Yeah, he's back today. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
All right, that was Vic Fangio speaking live from Dove Valley. Cecil Lammy is with me today. How you doing, man?
Very good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Lots going on here today for sure. We're live at Brothers Barbecue off 25 in Arapahoe. We have a war room, Kansas City Chiefs edition, kicking off in less than an hour. If you're anywhere near the area and you want to stop by for some good barbecue and hopefully some terrific conversations about Sunday night's football game that is looming, it is a massive game. Biggest game since Super Bowl 50?
Yeah. There's no doubt about that. And I've gotten some pushback on Twitter because I'm promoting that in my articles at DenverFan.com. And Twitter, I know, is the realm of the lowest common denominator. And if you think you're a big deal on Twitter, well, I want to remind everyone, I had a low member number on the X-Files chat room in the 90s. So, you know, that's important, too.
Twitter.
But people were saying, like, oh, you guys need to stop saying it's the biggest. Name me a game. Name me a game that has been larger than this one since Super Bowl 50. Okay, maybe when they were in the contention against the Chiefs, by the way, with the Dontari Poe touchdown. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember when the Chiefs ended your playoff hopes the year after the Super Bowl with Trevor Siemian? You remember that? And Gary Kubiak's last game against the then Oakland Raiders, if I'm not mistaken, and like wouldn't play Paxton Lynch. Remember that?
But
remember
even,
what KC did then?
Even that, going into that Week 17 game, the Broncos couldn't make the playoffs at that point.
Right. KC ended them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, you know, I really think that there is if you take out the 2016 season, there is no game. I mean, there's no even relative comp.
This is the game.
Now, I do think that if you go back to the year after the Super Bowl, when the bones of the Super Bowl roster are still there, the defense was still so good, I think there was a thought that, hey, the roster this good, you can win with any quarterback.
Right.
And you're 7-3 coming out of the bye, about to play Kansas City. You lose in overtime, and now you're 7-4. So I think the backstretch of that season, you could make an argument, but that is so far in the rearview now. I mean,
right.
You're talking about this is we're about to turn the page to 2022 here in a month.
Right.
That was 2016. So just ancient history, really, at this point. And outside of those candidates, there are no candidates,
and
which is telling how bad the Broncos have been.
And think about how people have changed their opinion on the quarterback. Because back then, you know, Trevor Siemian's okay. You don't need a great quarterback. You don't need a great quarterback. You've got this defense. You don't need a great quarterback. No, you need a great quarterback. Now, the Broncos don't have a great one with Teddy. He's above average, barely, you know, treading that line of above average. But this is what you've got. You've got relevant football in December. Brother, I'm going to take that.
Yeah, no question about it. And it is funny to think back to some of those conversations about the quarterback that
usually from Mike Evans. It's okay. Trevor Siemian's fine. Khaki pants. You're fine. No, you need a superstar.
Well, you look around the league right now and, you know, nearly every single team in the league that is leading in their division, or even if you're second place in the division, it's a solidified quarterback. You can go through division by division, whether it's Kyler and Stafford in the NFC West, whether it's Tom Brady in the NFC South, Aaron Rodgers in the NFC North, Dak Prescott in the NFC East,
right.
Patrick Mahomes in the AFC West, even a revived Ryan Tannehill at this point in his career in the AFC South. He'd be probably the lower candidate on this. You got Joe Burrow and former MVP Lamar Jackson in the AFC North.
Just a former MVP.
And Mac Jones was going to win Rookie of the Year and Josh Allen in the AFC East. So, I mean, it is an obvious blueprint here. Do the Broncos have enough to overcome a seriously lopsided mismatch in Kansas City on Sunday night? Cecil and I take a dive into that conversation coming up next. All eyes looking toward Sunday night football.
We didn't have weird eyes.
It was not supposed to be Sunday night football, but the league has flexed it in. The Broncos get a win, a big-time win, this past week against the Chargers at home, was an underdog. Now the importance is only magnified on Sunday night in Kansas City. Cecil was just talking about Teddy Bridgewater going head-to-head with Patrick Mahomes. On the surface, may seem like a silly question, but is this the guy? Is this the guy to finally slay the dragon?
To slay Pat Mahomes?
To slay Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs for the first time since September of 2015.
Yeah, it's been a minute. You were still in Buffalo at that time,
I was in Albany.
Not Schenectady?
Right next to Schenectady.
We've got a couple of clones together. We'll have some fun today.
Yeah.
No, he's not the guy. But this could be the team, and that's kind of my point this whole week. Like, it's going to take everybody. I'm not going to say it takes a perfect game. I don't really believe in that. You're going to have your ups and downs. You may have a fumble. You may have a pick. You may have some play that doesn't quite go your way. But it's going to take everybody against the Kansas City Chiefs. This is going to have to be a nice day for the running backs, plural. It's going to have to be a nice day if they go to the air, when they go to the air. Noah Fant, please don't be a catch and fall down guy. Please pick up yards after the catch. The Kansas City Chiefs have given up the third most yards after the catch in the NFL. Why? They pressure you 30% of the time. That's number four in the league. They get after the quarterback. They are going to blitz you. They are going to get after you. I mean, short passes turn into long gains, and it's going to take everybody. Can Teddy go toe-to-toe with Pat Mahomes? No! No! But if Pat Shurmur calls the right game plan, and that's the largest issue with this team. I said in the last war room, when they had seven games left, bye week special, right? And I said, I don't know if they're going to win more than a game or two.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, and my main issue was the coaching staff. My main issue is still the coaching staff, but it's going to take everybody calling the right plays, executing it the right way to get it done. So is Teddy the guy? No, but he can be part of the plan and part of the team that does.
Well, it has been 11 consecutive losses. We know how bad this losing streak has been, and we take a look back at one of those painful losses from the past.
New Year's Eve, the final day of 2017. A meaningless game for the playoff-bound Chiefs and the Cancun-bound Broncos meant both teams would start young first-round quarterbacks. For Vance Joseph's Broncos, Paxton Lynch got the nod, while Andy Reid handed the keys of his offense to a rookie making his first start. A fresh-faced kid out of Texas Tech named Patrick Mahomes. Playing against backups, Lynch would toss two touchdowns in the best start of his Broncos career.
Lynch to the back of the end zone, touchdown to Demaryius Thomas!
But it wasn't enough to out-duel Mahomes, who flashed signs of the dominance he'd soon unleash on the rest of the league.
Mahomes trying to get him closer, heading the wrong way, and still has the arm strength to hit DeMarcus Robinson.
Following the loss, Joseph's future as head coach wouldn't be decided that night, as John Elway chose to sleep on the decision and ultimately decided to retain his coach. For Broncos country, the end of 2017 brought little optimism their losing streak to the Chiefs would be ending anytime soon. Does the streak end Sunday night? It's the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Chiefs, Arrowhead, this Sunday.
Wow, it is really these look backs.
I love them, man.
We call them vignettes in behind the curtain. These vignettes, these look backs have really been interesting because you get reminded about stuff that you may have totally forgot. And you know, I remember I was here doing radio at the time, 2017, Mahomes' first ever start, and like who would have thought Mahomes going head to head with Paxton Lynch?
We thought that would be the future, right?
Right. I mean, that's what you're hoping.
Yeah.
Mahomes doesn't throw a touchdown. Mahomes has a pick. Paxton Lynch throws multiple touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. Throws for over 250 yards.
They ran those eight plays.
They ran those eight plays pretty good, didn't they? And it's just crazy to think that back now. Now, of course, Paxton had two picks as well. That game was sacked five times. But, I mean, it was a competitive game. It was 27-24 Lynch and Mahomes head-to-head. Crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then the sleep-on-it thing.
Had to
right?
sleep on it.
With Vance Joseph. And crazy. Then to learn later on that Mike Shanahan was set to come here with Kirk Cousins. We were at the Senior Bowl. We know a lot of behind-the-scenes information about that.
Yeah.
That it would have been 1 year of VJ, then back to Mike Shanahan, but it was shot down. And, of course, we all know it was Joe Ellis. I'm not speaking out of turn when I say that. But John Elway had it set up. I mean, Elway gets badgered by a lot of people in the fan base. Like, get him out of here. Don't they realize he's in Lake Tahoe? Like, he's done. Like, he's not. He's still on the payroll, right? But he's, like, done January 1, right? But you look at it now, how would history have – where would we have been? Kirk Cousins might still be your quarterback.
Right.
Mike Shanahan might still be your coach. Like, where would we have been as people who cover the Broncos and Broncos country in general had Mike Shanahan been allowed to be the head coach again after 1 year of VJ?
That's really crazy. And you're, of course, telling the truth about everything, that there was shadow meetings with Mike Shanahan. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. If there was an actual Mike Shanahan reunion here in Denver,
yes.
What if he's still the coach today? I mean, my imagination can go there and think that he would have been. What is the ripple effect with Kirk Cousins? You know, and Cousins, of course, gets a terrible rap. Some of it's deserved. Some of it doesn't. He's been playing like a top 10 quarterback, in my opinion, this year. Maybe on the back end of it. Incredible touchdown interception ratio. I think it's like 23-3 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy. But you know what could have been? What could have been? It just it's crazy to look back at games like those. Week 17, and you think back. You know, week 17 the previous year was Paxton's first year, and that was supposed to be his debut,
right?
Against the Raiders.
And Gary Kubiak refused to play him. He said during the week it's going to be 50-50. Then they were up at halftime like 24-3 or whatever.
Right.
Didn't play him. Come out. It's still Simeon. Lynch is just on the bench, and Gary kind of thumbing his nose, probably because John told Adam Schefter, hey, he's out of here, and Schefter reported it at like 5 in the morning
right.
that, hey, this is Gary Kubiak's final game. He's done. Gary was mad. Gary hated Paxton Lynch. He wanted Dak Prescott, and that was maybe his way to say, like, I'm going to play my guy, Trevor Simeon.
And on my watch, we're going to end with a winning record. You know, we're going to be 9-7. And to a football coach in his last game, that's important. So that was a tone setter for Paxton's career in that rookie season.
Playing him, couldn't you have seen quicker that he wasn't the answer? That was always my thing, because I'm named as the – you love Paxton Lynch. Well, I had a first-round grade on him. I wasn't Joel Klatt putting Connor Cook in the first round. He's a fourth-round pick, can't play. Like, okay, that guy went in the first round like I said he would. Give him a chance, and then if he stinks, guess what? You can. If it's Josh Rosen, no one talks about Arizona. They get rid of their coach after a year and their first-round quarterback after a year.
Unprecedented. Steve Wilks.
Guess
right
who
after
came
one,
out yep. the year after Paxton? His name was Pat Mahomes. And I'm just saying, 2 years, it was Josh Allen. I'm just saying, if you would have played the guy faster instead of messing around with Trevor Simeon, then maybe you could have figured out, oh, he's terrible. So, yeah, paint me as the passing guy because I said the first rounder should play. You got to know, man. In this day and age, you don't sit on your hands with these guys.
Well, now Paxton is up in Saskatchewan and has –
third string, I think?
No, he got demoted. Cecil, 2 weeks ago, he got demoted to fourth string.
Wow.
An in-season demotion. To fourth string.
Wow.
He lost out in the quarterback competition in the preseason against the kid from Colorado School of Mines. Think about that. The kid from Mines beat out the Broncos' first-round pick. And in that same season, Paxton gets demoted in season to fourth string. Really unheard of. So
this is really my fault.
Just really crazy.
Make him a tight end.
I remember saying in 2018, and people get so mad at me at the time, I said Paxton Lynch is going to go down as one of the most unique busts of all time in that he wasn't even afforded the opportunity to fail,
right.
like Jamarcus Russell was,
right.
like Johnny Manziel
like
was.
Like Drew Locke has been.
Like, I mean, as a second rounder, but sure. I mean, if you want to throw him in there, it's just crazy to look back at how these losses to Kansas City have stacked up and where we're at now. 11 straight big-time game looming on Sunday Night Football. It's been flexed in. We're going to talk about it extensively here throughout the afternoon. War Room kicking off in 35 minutes from now. Cannot wait to get underway. But in the meantime, Cecil, you said something about a potentially available quarterback. Last War Room. That may have at the time seemed like a hot take. Not so much just 1 month later. We'll take a dive into that conversation coming up next. Cecil, you said something last War Room, which was about 3 or 4 weeks ago now, about a potentially available quarterback. At the time, it may have seemed like a hot take. Less than a month later, that hot take may be at room temp. And I'm talking about Russell Wilson potentially
right.
becoming available.
Right.
You said last time emphatically with real conviction that the Russell Wilson era is going to come to an end this offseason.
Yes.
What I watched this past week, that looks like a team that doesn't have a pulse. That looks like a football team that is lifeless, that is just at the end of the road.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know who's going to get the divorce settlement. I don't know who's going to get custody of the kids, but I know that that couple is getting divorced.
Unlimited.
Cue the boys to men, right? End of the road.
That's right.
Yep.
Why would the Seahawks let him leave? If there's going to be a divorce, that's
right.
That's really my question. If you're going to rebuild any franchise and the quarterback says he wants to play 10 more years and that guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer the way that Russell Wilson is,
yeah,
why would you let him leave?
I had this question from Dan Jacobs last night because he's like, well, if they get rid of Pete Carroll, can they keep Russell Wilson? Because it's Russell Wilson versus Pete Carroll. No, it's not. Now, Nick has a saying, those who know don't tell and those who tell don't know. I'll tell you a little bit, but I know about this situation dating back to the spring. This was the Aaron Rodgers situation, less publicized. And it was the team wanting to move on from Russell. Not just Pete Carroll. This isn't just Carroll and Wilson's relationship that is fractured, although Carroll does give credit to Russell. He wouldn't have coached there as long if it wouldn't be for Russell Wilson. But this was the team wanting to move on from the guy that likes to run, has taken a lot of punishment. Seattle's offensive line gets beat up all the time because they've been largely terrible during Wilson's career. Mm-hmm. But he also doesn't, you know, throw the ball away quickly. He also doesn't, like, self-sack. He also doesn't get out the way. And that creates problems. And the team, instead of going to a guy, because when you get Russell Wilson, you have to accept that your offense is going to be somewhat off time.
Sure.
It's going to be somewhat off rhythm.
Plays off schedule
a lot.
Yeah,
plays off schedule a lot because of your quarterback. And Seattle was kind of done with that quietly looking into what it would take. Now, they did decide with Russell before the season started, because they patched things up a little bit after the draft. And basically, behind the scenes, what was said is, Russell, you know, we love you. We're going to do it your way this year. One more time, your way. And guess what happened? This.
They're terrible.
This is what happened. And he's gotten banged up. So, yes, it is done. And so when I floated that out there, and again, this ties into the any sort of potential head coaching change the Broncos have, look for guys that have George Payton and Russell Wilson ties. There's only two.
Darryl Bevell?
It's Dan Quinn and Darryl Bevell.
Mm.
So, if again, we can't talk about head coaching change now because they're playing the Chiefs and this is incredible.
Right.
But if that comes up, Wilson, if I was a gambling man or if I was Brandon Stokely, I would be putting my chips on Wilson being here and not Rodgers.
Well, it's crazy to see how this has unfolded. I mean, since Russell Wilson showed up in Seattle, this is the record of the Seahawks year by year. 11-5, 13-3, 12-4, 10-6, 10-5-1, an anomaly 9-7, but still a winning season.
Right.
10-6, 11-5, last year 12-4. It's the best run to start a career at the quarterback position that we've ever seen in terms of wins and losses. This year they're 3-8. They're 3-8. They'd have to win out to have a winning record. I mean, it's just incredible to see it unfold the way that it has. And I click on the Seattle Seahawks name on ESPN.com, and what does it say? Not about their upcoming game against the San Francisco 49ers. Not about, you know, anything really.
Can
to
I
do
guess?
It.
Can I guess what it says?
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson signed on their practice squad?
No. It says, would Russell Wilson be a good fit with the Giants?
Oh.
You know, this is kind of where we're at. It's an open secret. It is over between the two. I think the only question is, do they reset the franchise around Russell, or do they reset the franchise in what they could get in return for Russell?
Yeah, and by the way, it doesn't have to mean Pete Carroll sticks around. It could mean completely actual rebuild, actual true rebuild in Seattle. So I think people, they got wind of it, and they were kind of surprised. Why would they do that? I often got that when I would say Russell Wilson. Well, why would they do that? It's because it was done this year. They wanted to give it one more try, right? Why are we bringing up all the love songs today? Like, give it one more try, because it is the end of the road now. And we all see it.
Mm. They had a great run, man. Went to two Super Bowls.
Yep, should have won two.
Should have won two, won one, won a bunch of games in the meantime. I can't believe what we're seeing, but it is, I mean, the writing is absolutely on the wall. Here's my other follow-up question. Russell's going to have some say in this, where he goes, right?
Right.
You would think.
And the market's going to be hotter because of the Giants, because of Carolina, because of all these other teams.
Pittsburgh.
Miami may be off the books now with the way that Tua's playing. Pittsburgh now. So if you're the Broncos, and I hope George Payton learned his lesson because Matthew Stafford was supposed to be their guy. There were preparations being made to be like, hey, Matthew Stafford's going to be our guy. I won't say too much more than that. But he wasn't. Why? The Rams outbid him. George Payton had better know, if you're going to step up to that table, you better be ready to play all your chips. You can't get a deal. You can't get a bargain. You can't get a, oh, man, what a, I can't believe they only got Russell Wilson for that. No, you had better be ready to be the one guy that says domino. You bet if you're George Payton, and I hope he learned his lesson last year, because how many quarterbacks were on the table for the Broncos not named Teddy Bridgewater? How many? Right? Like, it was Matthew Stafford, then it was supposed to be Aaron Rodgers, then it was Ryan Fitzpatrick, who said he'd retire rather than come play here. George Payton, are you ready this offseason to truly put your chips on the table? And by the way, with Russell Wilson, what I go back to with Russell is the Tim Tebow era. We're going back in Broncos history, but had John Elway not been able to get Peyton Manning, and had it been, and this is what I've been told, had Tim Tebow still had been here, right, and they were able to, you know, kind of screw over the Jets to get rid of Tim Tebow, Russell Wilson was a target for them. And I remember talking to Russell the day after the Broncos lost to the Patriots in the playoffs, second round of the playoffs, with Tim Tebow quarterback, and I was at the Senior Bowl and media night, and Russell Wilson was sitting, I was standing, I was talking to him, hey, I'm from Denver. How would you like to come to Denver and play behind Tim Tebow? And he stood up, and he's shorter than me, but Russell Wilson stood up, and he's like, I want to be known as a passer, not as a runner, and I'm a starter. And then he, like, noticed what he was doing because he was, like, flexing on me, and he sat back down, and then we continued the interview. And buddy of mine, Matt Waldman, was across the way. He's like, what the hell did you say to Russell Wilson? I said, hey, you want to come to Denver and back up Tim Tebow? That was it. But it was that fire that you see on the field throughout his entire career. With all those double-digit wins. So there was a scenario. The Rockies drafted Russell Wilson.
They did.
There was a scenario where the Broncos could have as well.
All right, we're going to continue to track that story. Another story that broke really just before we got on the air within the hour is the disaster at Colorado State. Steve Addazio fired after a debacle over a two-year period where they lost three times as often as they won. Just a four
two dudes.
Yeah, there you go, Coach.
Ultimate dudes.
4-12 record. And, I mean, his last image as the coach at Colorado State is losing at home 52-10 and getting ejected for two unsportsmanlike conduct penalties and leaving the game early on senior night. Just an absolute debacle at Colorado State. And, oh, by the way, that lasting impression of Addazio running off the field after being an in-game ejection, it's in front of nobody. The entire stadium is cavernous and empty. So Colorado State, who knows what the future is up there, but they've obviously invested a lot into the football program and the building of that stadium not too long ago. They have gotten no return on that investment. A national search, it has been announced, has begun to fill that new coaching void after Steve Addazio fired just over an hour ago.
Yeah, and I don't know how much you've been up to Fort Fun, but it's always embarrassing to see their home games because that nice big stadium, because Hughes Stadium was falling apart. When I was in Fort Collins in the 90s, it was like always the joke, like, be careful where you sit. Right? Or else you're falling off the back of the stadium or something. I mean, seriously, it was literally falling apart up there by Horsetooth. So new, beautiful stadium, and it's always empty, and it always looks so terrible for Colorado State. And, you know, I know CU loves to pump up, you know, how great everything is there. Like, well, they got some problems there as well. Let's just say college football is not in a good spot in the state of Colorado.
No, it is not. It's golly, between CU and CSU, goodness. So, if you're just joining us, restating the news: Steve Addazio fired after two seasons. It started with a COVID testing cover-up. That was the start of the Addazio administration, and it finishes with him being ejected from a game in an empty stadium on senior night.
Do you know what they do have though? CSU,
An incredible basketball program.
You're not lying. They also have maybe a first-round tight end.
Trey McBride, right?
Yes.
He is terrific. And he's going to be at the Senior Bowl.
Yes.
And you will be down in Mobile?
Yes.
Okay, great. If you get a chance to watch CSU's basketball program, they are fun. They are undefeated. I said in the preseason, this is my team for the season. I pick a team every year in college sports. Last year, football season, it was BYU. This year, it's Cincinnati. This year's basketball season, it's CSU, and my prediction is at some point this season, they're going to be nationally ranked. We'll see. but trending in the right direction for sure there. Okay, what is the latest and greatest coming out of Dove Valley? We're hearing that Garrett Bowles could be back for Sunday Night Football. And who needs to step up? Who's an X factor on Sunday night in Arrowhead? We'll bounce out those questions off Mike Kliss coming up next. We are efforting Mike Kliss. Hopefully connect with him any second, our 9 News Broncos insider. We heard from Vic Fangio at the very top of the show. Garrett Bowles trending to play. We haven't seen good old Bowlesy in a few weeks, Cecil. But the team in general has some injury factors here. When you look at who's not practicing today, you're looking at Melvin Gordon. He's dealing with a hip and a shoulder. Calvin Anderson dealing with an ankle and a knee.
Right.
Eric Saubert's got an ankle. Dalton Reisner has a hurt back. Shelby Harris has an ankle. Ronald Darby is sick. All those guys did not practice. Which of those is most concerning to you?
Which of those is most concerning is the Melvin Gordon thing, because you need both. You do. And I love Javonte, and I said yesterday, I was like, I don't know if Zach and I are going to fight over the Marco Polo, Javonte Williams thing, right? Because I heard you planting your flag the other day. I was driving around the Mile High City. I almost called you. I was like, dude, I'm the Javonte guy.
Hey, you can be.
We can both be the Javonte guy.
Hey.
How about that?
You can steer the car, and I'm riding shotgun because you loved him during the draft process. The more that I took a deep dive into his college history, became more and more of a fan. And at this point, how can you not be a fan?
Yeah, it's got to be Melvin and Javonte this week.
Okay. Mike Kliss joins us on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline, our 9 News Broncos insider, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Kliss, as most football teams at this stage of the season, Broncos dealing with some banged-up football players, aren't they?
Sure. Yeah, it is week 13, game 12. And, you know, I think that injury report list was long on both sides. The concern is Melvin Gordon this week. You know, the hip injury, he finished the game. And, you know, I wrote about this yesterday, kind of figured it out by going 2+2+2. They protected Demaria Crockett on the practice squad and running back. And that's the first time they'd done that in a while. He has already had his two elevations. So if they're going to bring him up, they'd have to activate him on the 53. And maybe that's why they went ahead and put Calvin Anderson on the IR. We'll find out. That they might need Quinn Bailey up also. But that was one. And then they signed a practice squad running back, Kareth White. So you knew when they did that Tuesday, you knew one of the running backs was in trouble. And then Melvin's not practicing. He didn't practice yesterday, and he's not going to practice today. So he's definitely going to be 50-50. I thought he really gutted it out on Sunday, because he left early with that hip. He fell on it and went to the medical tent and looked like he was in some kind of pain. And the next thing you know, he's out there breaking some runs. So if he can play, he will play. I mean, this is prime time. Melvin's in a contract year like everybody else. I'm sure he'd like to go out there and, you know, and rush for 80 yards and catch a couple passes to show people he's not old at the running back position. But he is the most banged up. Otherwise, they're pretty good. You know, Kareem comes back. Garrett Bowles comes back. I think Massey comes back, so they're actually a little more healthier for this game than they were last week.
Mike, you mentioned Kareem comes back. I just want to see more Caden Stearns. So, like, Kareem's back, and I've argued with the guys here on the Fan, like, of where his play level is at. I don't think it's very high this year, and I love Kareem Jackson, but, like, is there a plan to maybe keep using Caden Stearns a little bit more based on his play?
Yeah, especially with Travis Kelce. You know, mm-hmm. Stearns makes some sense as a matchup against Travis Kelce. Who look up the splits on him versus the Broncos here in the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, I think the average is, you know, some 7+ catches and over 100 yards a game. So he's obviously torched the Broncos, and they're going to use Surtain. They said today Surtain, Justin Simmons, and Stearns would be on him in this game. But, yeah, Kareem is real good box safety now. He's become almost like John Lynch the last year he was here with the Broncos in 2007. He's still a force in the run game. In space, yeah, I think maybe the fresher, younger legs and Caden Stearns makes a little more sense.
Mike Kliss joining us here on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline. Mike, who's an X factor on Sunday Night Football for the Denver Broncos?
Ooh, again, what I thought was the X factor in the against the Chargers was Fangio's ability to confuse the quarterback, and I thought Justin Herbert was very much confused. He's, you know, last year was pretty impressive. The Broncos went into a Sunday night game at Kansas City late in the year. Bassie tore his ACL in that game, and I think the Broncos were without all their cornerbacks in that
right.
game.
Yep.
And that's when the Chiefs were scoring 35 points a game. They weren't struggling like this year. You know, they're not dominating on the scoreboard this year. But they held them to 22, and it was 16-12 late in the third quarter. The Broncos were ahead. And, so I think Fangio with the defense, and then double X factor is Teddy Bridgewater. He's got to play well. He's got to play his best game because the Broncos are going to have to score points. And if Melvin's going to be iffy, this is going to be a passing game for the Broncos. And Teddy Bridgewater has to step up and play, as well as he did against the Cowboys or whatever other game you want to pick out as his best of the year.
Mike, last one before we let you go here. I've heard it discussed here on The Fan, and we're going to talk about it here shortly in the war room. In a minute or less, Mike, does beating the Kansas City Chiefs specifically weigh in at all to the evaluation of Vic Fangio and whether he comes back next year or not?
I can't predict the game, how it's going to go this Sunday. I mean, I think that the Broncos are going to hang with them. Not sure they're going to beat them, but I think they're going to hang with the Chiefs. But if the Broncos do win, I predict all four of the radio shows on The Fan are going to ask me if Vic Fangio is going to get fired at the end of the year.
All right, Mike.
Hashtag 9 sports. That means yes, Mike. We appreciate you.
We will leave it right there. Have a great rest of your day and enjoy the games this weekend.
All right, guys.
All right, there he goes. That was Mike Kliss, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. We are live at Brothers Barbecue at I-25 in Arapahoe. If you're anywhere near this location, Greenwood Village, whatever, stop by, say hello to Cecil Lamb. He's going to be here. James Merrillat is going to be here. If you want to, like, personally give him the finger, you can come by and do that. Nate Jackson is here.
Has he signed a James Merrillat as a clown t-shirt? That's all I want to know.
There has to be a first if it hasn't happened yet. Tyler Palumbis is going to be here. Kidding aside, we are about to have a blast and break down from every angle the biggest game for the Denver Broncos since Super Bowl 50. That is coming up next. Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.